This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This week is huge for Malaysia. Starting today, Parliament will convene for a special three-day sitting to debate and vote on the TPP bill before the final decision is made by the Senate on Thursday. This landmark agreement will rewrite the rules of how and with whom Malaysia does business with in the future. And if this controversial agreement is ratified, as many as 26 laws and regulations will need to be amended. As part of a week-long discussion, BFM will, on this global agreement, may we welcome Wan Saifulwan Jan, the chief executive of the think tank Ideas, as well as YB Wong Chen, the member of parliament for Kelana Jaya. Gentlemen, very warm welcome to both of you on the show.
Good morning.
Now, how big is this week really for Malaysia, given that the TPPA will potentially affect almost every area of our lives, from health, education, and the environment, privacy, access to medicines, etc.? Wan Saiful?
Well, it's a pretty big week in the sense that this is one of those rare times. This is one of the rare times when a major policy is actually being debated on. And but you know, if you look at previous histories in Malaysia, Malaysia has signed many previous FTAs, and none of it has attracted this level of attention. And I think in that sense, it's a really quite a landmark week for the country.
Well, maybe publicly, at least once, I thought you are for the TPPA, but only just, and with huge reservations. We'll get more of your views on that later. Wong, what's your view in terms of the significance of this this bill to the country?
Well, you see, the FTA that we're looking at, which is the TPPA, is not your typical FTA. It is a plus-plus FTA, if you like to say. What we're seeing is that its implications are not just about trade. It's really, if you look at it carefully, it's not really trade at all. It's really about the investor rights, which is being promoted forefront. That results in the erosion of our sovereignty. I will explain that later through ISDS. And also raises the issue about intellectual properties, things that they cannot push through. The Americans cannot push through at WTO. They're using this as a backdoor way to enforce intellectual property rights. So the implications are deep, and there's also a lot of issues regarding the final impact on trade with Malaysia vis-a-vis ASEAN and also with China.
Well, that's the thing, because the current narrative and the public media seems to suggest, and almost desperately so, that if we don't do this deal, Malaysia stands to lose out in terms of economics and trade and investment, etc., etc. And that's where people like Dato' Sri Mustafa are coming from, quite vehemently so. But as you quite rightly point out, Wong, there's a lot more to discuss in terms of the fact that basically, and this is something which I think, Wan Saiful, you also have made public in your column in The Edge this week, the fact that there are certain preservations and extensions of inefficient practices. For example, the Bumiputra policies, which have, by and large, been a little bit distorted from the original intentions.
Yes, indeed. That's why you know, I would say that I support us signing the TPP, but I'm really disappointed with some of the carve-outs that we have managed to negotiate. The government is saying that the carve-outs are a success for the country. I think they're not really successes, but they signify weaknesses in the country that we refuse to reform. The Bumiputra privileges, for example, is something that the TPP is something that we should have taken advantage of in order to have an adult conversation about the continuation of Bumiputra policy. We did not do that.
Why do you think that we didn't do that?
I think the politics behind this is a little bit too much for even the government to handle. And you know, the reality is even the opposition are not really pushing for rethinking of the Bumiputra policy. So, but without that political will, what the government has done is basically to cop out from going into those difficult discussions and discuss a carve-out.
Well, one presupposes there was will to start with in the first place. We've just seen the extension of the approved permit system, despite certain statements in the past that they would be removed by 2015, which was last year. Wong, what are the, from that perspective, you know, why do you think the government was unable or at least unwilling to discuss the eradication of some of these inefficient practices?
Okay, first off, you know, one Saiful's position is obviously his position on the matter. For us, I think in the opposition, we generally believe in some affirmative action policy, right? So when we look at the TPPA, was it enough or was there a sort of like cop-out, as one Saiful said earlier? We think it's definitely a cop-out because they don't really address the issue. The matter is quite simply, in the carve-out, we can see that the percentage of carve-out for the UMNO Putras or the super elite Malays has been fully protected in the construction, government procurement construction services side, right? Whereas the others are being opened. So you have some semblance of competition being opened up or liberalization for the lower ranked or lower income Bumiputras, but for the super elite, that's protected. And also, as Wan Saiful wrote in his document at the Edge, is absolutely correct that they've carved out PPP, completely. And that is not good generally for the people. So this is, I think, a political compromise on the part of the UMNO government.
Wan Saiful, you are by and large, and I think only just, in favour of signing the TPP, because you say on balance in the Edge. But again, the current narrative is really not really about the trade and investment, because they will come as surely as night follows day and day follows night. But it is essentially the potential loss of hegemony and sovereignty, the extension of inefficient practices which have in a way retarded the country's economic progress.
Yeah, indeed. And this is why it's important for me to say that to me, the TPP is really not about trade. I concur with what Wiebe Wong Chen said just now, that it's much more than that. And it is that an added factor that makes me support the signing of a TPP. You know, the fact that the TPP pushes us to think about the geopolitical challenges that we face in this region, the fact that the TPP pushes us to think about the legal reforms that we must undertake in order to improve the country, the fact that the TPP has a strong environmental and labor rights element in the agreement. These are all positive things. To me, debating the how many percent in terms of trade benefits this TPP will get us, it's really a sideline story. It's more the political economy side that excites me.
But how can you say that when you look at the environmental aspects and the potential lawsuits that might occur as a result of the ISDS, which is the Investor Settlement Dispute System? Some years ago, when Westfalen of Sweden, they sued Germany for dismantling nuclear power, I think in the wake of Fukushima, that was obviously one potential ramification for Malaysia. If we don't open up our jungles and our nature and our canopy trails, potentially, to be a bit more candid about this whole thing to the corporations?
Yeah, this is the debate around ISDS, and it is creating this impression that the opponents of TPP are creating this impression that, foreign companies can sue us left, right, and centre. The reality is not quite like that. ISDS is an investor-state dispute settlement mechanism. You can only sue the government if there is an investment that you have made in the country and you are based here in the country. And if you're not, you can't. Then, the environmental provisions in the TPP is about protecting the environment. So, the short answer to your question just now is, if we're talking about abuse and the destruction to the environment, yes, the TPP will help us improve in that. And if the company is trying to, like the bauxite mining case that's happening, I think TPP will prevent this from happening again. So there are many positive things that will happen. There are lessons in the past that have been learned from by the negotiators. And I think TPP provides sufficient safeguards to prevent that from happening.
Now, as we know, gentlemen, and let's start with you, Wong, Malaysia started discussions on the TPPA in 2010. That was 5 years ago. And I think the text was only made available to Parliament, 6,000 pages, I think it was, in November last year. That was 5 years in the making, and I think members of the public, as well as certain lawmakers, were not even privy to those discussions. Now, here we are, less than 3 months later, having to push through this bill in Parliament. Now, what were your views in terms of the much, highly criticised secrecy of the talks, Wong?
Okay, well, there is two aspects. I used to be a corporate lawyer before becoming a member of parliament, so I'm an insider in some ways, and also an outsider now, in the sense that, as a member of parliament, we don't look at corporate deals per se, but we look at the general policy making. The negotiation process itself, I was really disappointed by the fact that we never had any external lawyers, specialists such as White & Case, a big law firm, to come and advise the government on the negotiation aspect. Nor did we get cleared advisors at the early stages. Cleared advisors means, bankers, industrialists, their lawyers, their economists coming in to help the government, right? What we have is that the U.S., for certain, the U.S. drafted this. This is their template. And they had about 400 cleared advisors from Monsanto to Microsoft to Google, General Electric. All the big corporations were involved inside the drafting of it. So I think from the process point of view, we started off really poorly, We didn't have external advisors. And, you know, the government claims to have a good deal because they carved out a bit of Bumiputra here, a bit of SOE there. But I think they are not, they did not achieve full objective. And I think that is the sad part of the about this deal. Multi-billion, trillion economic issues. And yet the team, I would say, did not fully grasp the issue or have full control over the issues.
Juan Saiful, Professor Jomo, the renowned economist, has said that this TPPA is a bit like Hotel California. Once you check in, you can't check out. It's not a hop-on, hop-off bus. As an advocate on the four camp, Juan Saiful, what do you think of this whole secrecy issue?
Well, firstly, about this this idea that you cannot really opt out. The reality is you can actually
In technical terms,
exit.
You can within, I think, 6 months in written agreement and committed to communicated to your fellow TPPA members and the depository party. But once you've done deals and once you've done business contracts, there's such a thing as contract sanctity. So you can't really opt out.
Yeah,
it's a bit like Hotel California.
That argument, I think, does not really hold water. It's like saying that divorce is very expensive, therefore let's campaign against marriage. That does not really hold water to me. I think you get into the deal with the intention of actually making it work. And, if you go into a deal wanting to get out, then there's something wrong with you, not with the text of the agreement. So you try to make things work out. If it doesn't work out, then you find an exit clause. And the exit clause is there. Now, there was a second part to your question about Jomo's session.
Well, the hop-on, hop-off bus.
Yeah, but the idea that there are weaknesses to the TPP. I agree with many of his criticisms, but what we need to acknowledge is Jomo comes from, he uses a different model to analyze the TPP compared to what the other analysts are doing. And then he started arguing about whether this model is working or not. And I think this is a very academic way of arguing about the viability of the TPP, but just as much as he talks about the weaknesses of the models being used by analysts, the CGE model in particular that he dislikes, others can dislike or criticize his model of GPM as well. In the same way that I would say that I give no real importance to either CGE or GPM because I prefer the political economy model.
Well, the bystanders, the economic and investment opportunities are almost indisputable because you're done doing business with the rest of the world. It's the larger picture which is the issue.
Yeah, and the larger picture comes in the areas of the geopolitical concern. There's about American hegemony and so on. The reality is the TPP does not prevent us from continuing to negotiate with other countries, including China. And many people are worried about Americans coming here. But this is a very I think this is still a colonized mentality, because we fear of them coming in. Why are we not talking about us going out? And the reality is, if we have that level of confidence to say that we're strong enough to compete with the so-called big boys, we can. And another factor we must remember is, while we're negotiating with the possibility of Americans coming in, China is already here. Look at the investments that China is already making, the money that China is already pouring into the country. They are already here. This is not about risk. This is not about balancing the two. This is about working with both.
Today, BFM, and for the rest of the week, we are having a discussion, a week-long discussion on the controversial TPP bill. And on the grill, we have Juan Saiful Juan Jan, the chief executive of the think tank Ideas, as well as YB Wong Chen, the member of parliament for Kelana Jaya. Now, Wong, Malaysia is a very pretty girl. It does, it attracts the affections of many parties around the world, and of course we do have business with China. They are now our largest trading partner. The thing is, with the TPPA, the Americans are conducting similar trade agreements and discussions with the rest of the world, the TTIP and the TISA, which encompass Europe and Western Europe, effectively drawing the wealthier Western European nations away from Eurasia, as well as in Asia, with Southeast Asia, integrating us away from China. This is an enclosure which I think effectively this disconnects many of America's largest competitors, the Brazils, the Russias, the Indias, the South of Africa's, the Chinas. What are the ramifications of us doing business with America and agreeing these trade agreements effectively to the exclusion of China?
Well, let's be clear about this. A trade agreement is about trying to make a bit more money for the country, or at least to power some economic growth. right? One Saiful said that some of the data is fuzzy and all this. I just like to quote that the PwC report, which is commissioned by the government, only shows a 0.13% growth per annum on the GDP if we sign the TPPA. So obviously it's negligible growth. Now, what is the downside of this in terms of the China, you know, our relationship with China? China, as you know, came and rescued the Prime Minister on the 1MDB issue, pouring in $24 billion, right? It just seems a bit weird to now turn around and follow the American agenda of trying to contain China through pivot to Asia. And this is how we treat our number one trading partner that has just given you $24 billion. It's a bit funny, in my opinion. And also breaks away from the Malaysian foreign policy of neutrality. Now, the real impact for businessmen out there and for industrialists is that what if China starts to have a mentality where they will slow down trade with Malaysia? For instance, they buy timber and palm oil and rubber from Indonesia and Thailand instead of us. What impact would that be? What if they stop giving out support for infrastructure, say the high-speed train? So we have not actually factored in the impact yet. What China will demand, I think, in the short-term policy is to demand we sign RCEP, the Regional Cooperative Agreement, their FTA. If we fail to do so, then obviously they will then pursue another line. And after we sign RCEP, then the EU will be knocking on the door and asking us to sign the EU FTA, Malaysia EU FTA. And then the country is really basically opened up completely to everybody. So we have to have major worries because as policymakers, and we're not talking about supporting just the interests of the business community, as policymakers, we have to have some level of protectionism in order to groom and also to nurture our companies.
Well, Saiful, what do you make of this idea that the TPPA is not about free trade, in inverted commas, but about geopolitics?
Oh, completely. In fact, if you really look at it, all FTAs are also about geopolitical relationship. So, but to say that the TPP is in an exceptional case because of the geopolitical consideration, I think that's looking at FTAs in a very narrow way. Now, take that example that YB Wong Chen gave about China, for example. You know, why is it that suddenly it's okay to be dependent on China, but not okay to be dependent on other countries like the US or Canada or Mexico or whatever else? You know, when this idea that relationship with China is so holy and must not be disturbed.
Well, that's the thing. Partnerships need not be exclusively sacrosanct. Why can't Malaysia share its affections with everybody?
And that is exactly what the government is trying to do, I think. I find it really weird that I'm defending the government in this program, but this is a very rare occasion. I must say, let's record this. But that is exactly what the government is trying to do because, you negotiate with countries in the TPP. I hope we will be negotiating what YB Wong Chen said just now, the Malaysia EU FTA. And we are negotiating RCEP as well. There is also an ASEAN and Hong Kong FTA coming up at the same time. So we are negotiating with everyone. Just because the TPP is, we have to make a decision whether or not to sign TPP within the today or tomorrow, does not mean we're excluding everyone.
Wong, is it possible that Malaysia can do business with everybody without being encountered in a complex web of lawsuits?
No, yeah, absolutely. I agree that Malaysia should trade with everyone. But that is the keystone here. The issue is about neutrality. In order to be a good trading nation, you must have a neutral geopolitical position. That is tried and tested since Tun Razak's day, That means we
But free,
we
trade, free trade agreements are not neutral in any way, shape or form, by the looks
not
of
this
it at
one.
Least.
Not the TPPA. The TPPA does not benefit us economically or have negligible benefits. So that's why it becomes a geopolitical thing. If we're going to get 2%, 3% growth GDP a year from this trade agreement, then we can consider the issue. But the data shows 0.13%. So it is not about economics. It's really about geopolitical positioning. And this is where we are breaking away from neutrality to pursue the American agenda in pivot to Asia. I think there is a lot of uncharted waters here that is too risky for our country. And I'm not taking the position of supporting China. It's a fact that China is number one trading partner, right? Do we change the way that we do business for no economic gains? just to support the American agenda? I think not. It cannot be like that. Business sense must be purely driven by data, and looking at the reality and say, look, you know, if the China trade is number one, and we want to move the American trade, which is number five now, back to number four, number three, there are other ways to do it. You can't do it through the TPPA where you upset the number one trade.
Juan Saiful, this question in from text message from a listener, I think is quite germane at this point in time, because he or she asks whether this international panel of arbiters from our ministry, I think 50 of them, you know, do you think, and in the whole process of the 5 years that led up to this point in time, do you think they were fair in deciding what was best for the national interest of the country?
Well, there are considerations that they have given, and there were briefings that were done to invited stakeholders at various town hall meetings and so on. But I still remember about 5 years ago when the negotiation around TPP was just starting, and in fact, I just moved back from the UK to Malaysia at that time. The very first ministerial meeting I had with actually was Mr. Minister Mustafa Mohamad. I still remember talking to him at PwC. And I said to him, you need to be more open with the public about this negotiation.
To which he replied?
To which he said, yes, we will consider doing that and so on. Because my fear at that time is if we don't open up, then you will get opposition when it comes to the crunch time.
And do you feel he did?
I think we have been very weak at, and in fact, the word I have been using in the past is the government has been very lousy at explaining to members of the public why we need to open up, liberalise and be part of the global supply chain. I think at the moment we are firefighting about the TPP when the bigger picture really should be about liberalisation. I think we could have done better, but the negotiators themselves, I think they have negotiated the best deal for the country that is possible. I think it would be unfair for us to say that, you know, all these negotiators, as the civil servants, are trying to sell the country to the Americans. I think this is a very propaganda style of attack.
Well, secrecy has been a recurring hallmark of America's other trade agreements.
Let me address that issue of secrecy. Look, BFM invited me to come here like 3 weeks ago, right? It was not until yesterday that you only told the public, or maybe even this morning, that we will have this conversation. Why was there secrecy during the past 3 weeks? The fact is, it is normal until you get proper confirmation that something is happening. It is normal to not expose things to the public. Pakatan Harapan had a deal between the three parties. Why did they not tell the members of the public that they had started meeting from day one?
Wrong? Fair comments?
No, not really. Not at all. Sorry, Juan. Look, this secrecy matter, I mean, it was secret from members of parliament. It was secret from the caucus itself, right? I mean, the Americans, in their great grand conspiracy of a government style, they still open up to select members of the Congress to sit down and look at the tax. In Malaysia, it was utter secrecy. It was secret from cleared advisors, which were only brought in very late in the game, in mid-2015. So it was secret from everybody except the minister, the prime minister, and, you know, a couple of trade negotiators. It's absolutely unacceptable in a so-called democracy like ours.
Juan Saiful Wan Jun, the chief executive of the think tank Ideas, and YB Wong Chen, the member of parliament for Kelana Jaya, with us on a week-long breakfast grill series on the TPP. Before we talk to both of you, we have on the line with us Gerakan Vice President Dato' Dr. Asharuddin Ahmad with us to discuss why it thinks the TPP is good for the country. Good morning, Dato'.
Morning, gentlemen.
We understand that Gerakan has got this roadshow going on, and it believes that the TPP is actually good for the country in terms of propelling it to the top 10 in the world for the benefit of all Malaysians. Summarize, if you can, please.
Okay, thank you very much. After listening to both the young men, I'm not very sure whether they represent the younger generation, but it's quite interesting to listen to their argument. However, having said that, Gerakan, we recently have done what we call Better Malaysian polls, you know. In fact, we have a sampling. There is no specific guidelines on the sub-sampling, but we have about 1,500 respondents, and 1,000 responded to agreement with the TPPA. In fact, from the last 5 years, we have done a lot of memorandum and press statement on this in support of the TPPA. Basically, I myself is a proponent of open market. You see, so we should be able to open new professional market. In fact, we have a bigger population, about 800 million with 30 trillion USD in terms of FDIs and all that, you know. And we could maintain and upgrade our international standards more to create level playing fields and be matured in terms of our competitive advantage.
So Doctor, out of the 1,500 respondents, how convinced are you that they knew what they were talking about?
Basically, we have quite a set of open-ended question and closed-ended question. Yeah, maybe you know, in any kind of survey, there's always subjective whether they really understand that. So our findings could be based on the what is the positive impact, and we look at the profiling as well. And in 25%, 30%, they don't really understand what is TPPA. I cannot be, because we should be able to get more information when we subset it into race, base and occupancy, you know. But this is more on a general from the social media and things like that. Okay. But Grakhan is always a big supporter. But obviously, when after listening to both, there are always pros and cons. We will always think that there should be some improvement in certain aspects, especially when they talk about sovereignty rights and issues and things like that. You know, that one. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with both the panels on this.
All right, Dato. Thank you so much for your time. That was Grakhan Vice President Dato Dr. Asharuddin Ahmad with us with his views on the TPPA. Gentlemen, and I think we'll start with you, Wan Saiful. I think this whole issue about the members of the public, whether needing to or not needing to, or at least definitely needing to know more about the TPPA, should we therefore be rushing into this whole discussion and ratification in Parliament barely 3 months after the text has been publicly revealed?
Well, I agree completely that, you know, members of the public really needs to know more about TPP, and not just that, we need to have a higher level of understanding about all public policy issues, because many of the policies being passed by the government nowadays, you know, there seem to be very minimal public debate. This is, the debate around TPP is brilliant. You know, I think the level of public awareness has certainly been increased.
Cue the NSE bill, and of course, Jomo has suggested that 1 year should be the time frame, and not as opposed to 3 days. Now, do you think that's possible?
Well, it is not possible, because this is a deal being negotiated with 11 other countries. It's 12 countries in total. And the agreement that has been achieved with all these negotiation partners is that we must sign within a certain number of days, and within 60 days, I think. So the date that has been set is early February. So it is not possible in that sense, because we are not alone. This is not a unilateral decision. And I think if we want to go ahead and sign it, then we have to abide by the agreement that we have achieved with everyone. But I agree with the concern. I agree that it is too short a time. I'm just saying that in this particular case, unfortunately, it's not possible.
Do you get the impression, Wong, that we are being corralled as a country into signing this TPP bill?
That is really the case. I mean, because of the way the deal is done in secrecy, and you know, where even members of parliament are not given access to the text, and the really sad thing. I mean, my main beef with the government is really that the cost benefit reports only came out in December 3rd, right? Just a month and a bit, and that's supposed to encapsulate the basic arguments and the pros and cons of the deal. I just want to stress again to our Grakhan friends that he should go back and read the PwC report properly, and not just say that, you know, it's going to benefit the country, because there is no benefits. There's no economic benefits. That's the most important point that we have to stress, that this trade agreement does not create new jobs or create, greater economic growth. It doesn't do that. I can understand Wan Saiful, and I appreciate Wan Saiful's position, because that's why he's not talking about economics. He's talking about the socio-political impact. He believes that competition is good and that we should open up liberalisation. I respect the position. Of course, as policymakers, we in Pakatan Harapan are primarily social market economists. We look at the bigger picture. As I said earlier, I used to be an insider, now an outsider, where as a policymaker, we have to be we have to look at the big picture and see the balance. Whether it's worth giving up our sovereignty for 0.13% growth.
And here we are, Wan Saiful, with large swaths of urban society pretty much by and large convinced that this whole debate is very much a PR exercise. Now, do you think with the government having the ability to amend legislation to allow Parliament, not the Cabinet, Parliament, to vote on the TPP bill, and having not done so, this whole exercise is pretty much an exercise in futility?
Yeah, this is the interesting part about the parliamentary debate that's actually starting today, continuing to tomorrow. And I think Dewan Negara is the day after, right?
So, that's right.
And, the likelihood is all the parties will vote along party line. I really wish it can be done based on conscience. And just, you know, when we were talking off air just now, YB Wong Chen raised this as well. Because I have been talking to quite a few MPs from both sides. And I must admit that not everybody from the Barisan National side actually support the TPP. And not everybody from the Pakatan side oppose the TPP. You know, so there's a mixed feeling here. But BN as a whole is bound by the whip of the party. And Pakatan as a whole, opposition side, interestingly enough, with PAS as well, even though they're not on that side, they too are bound by the whip of the party.
Which will make a healthy and vigorous debate in Parliament, no doubt, Wong Chen. Of course, with you going there later on at 10 o'clock. Now, what does that mean in terms of execution, though, on the TPP bill?
Well, okay, the process is quite simple. I mean, there's confusion about the terminology, but essentially we'll go to Parliament today and tomorrow, and then after that the Dewan Negara, and there'll be a vote of some sort. That vote is not legally binding, nor is it of any real significance in terms of law. That vote is just a persuasive vote to guide the cabinet. The ultimate power is really in the Prime Minister's hand. Now, the cynical approach to this is to say that the Prime Minister wishes to share the burden in case the TPPA fails or that results in nothing. Then, you know, he can go around and say, look, I didn't make the decision. It was decided by Parliament. So therefore, I support Wan Sai Fu's position that conscience vote must be allowed in Parliament, whether it's from the BN side or from Pakatan side.
But here we are, Wan Sai Fu, and if it does get ratified, and probably will as well, there's 26 laws that need to be amended. It's at least a two-year process. If any point, do you think at any point in time in the next 24 months, this whole issue, the whole treaty can be scuppered?
Definitely. You know, signing is only the first stage. I think the debate will only get more exciting as we go through the next 2 years. So, you know, various legislations will need to be updated. I think updating the legislation to international standard is a good thing. So it might not necessarily be a bad thing. We need to see what the actual amendments are. But I think the possibility of derailing the process is still there if opponents are strongly wanting to do it.
Gentlemen, thank you for the healthy and stimulating and vigorous discussion on the TPP. Thank you for spending time with us. We had Wan Sai Fu Wan Jun, the chief executive of Think Tank Ideas, as well as YB Wong Chen, the member of parliament for Kelana Jaya, and this was part of a week-long breakfast grill series on the TPP, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.